The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And you can also use 53106 or 087-1400-106 if you want to get in touch to give us your favourite Euros highlights, because we're looking back at the great moments of the tournament over the years. With me is Colm Buick, producer with Off the Ball. You're absolute. We start at number one, or will we work our way up? Which is your method
we'll
of approach,
in, Colm? Descending order, yeah. Well, we can start with Euro 2016, I guess, the last great Republic of Ireland moment, really, in general. I mean, our last international tournament, but certainly a where were you moment for football fans across the country and abroad, I suppose, when Ireland faced Italy in the final group game of those European championships. Italy were already through to the knockout stage, so they rested a few players.
Why do our big moments always hinge on Italy?
I know, it's beautiful. It kind of sinks in nicely, like all started Italian 90, isn't it? But it was a bit like last night with Portugal resting a few players against Georgia and then Georgia taking full advantage. But Italy probably rested a few more players in comparison to Portugal last night. But anyway, Ireland took full effect of it because Wes Hoolihan, the great Wes, came on in that game, actually missed a sitter himself. That's kind of the forgotten element of that great moment, as he's through 1-1, misses. And then minutes later, he swings the ball in like a beautiful cross, typical of Hoolihan. And Robbie Brady gets on the end of it. And just the aesthetics of watching it from a TV perspective. I was out in Dublin that night. I remember working first thing the next morning to cover it, having to rush home, to like literally run away from the pints because they were going to follow me. They were going to get me because that moment was just incredible. And then there was any number of people from News Talk over with our own Nathan Murphy in France and Ger Gilroy to be there for that moment, because when the cross came in, you could see Robbie Brady was going to meet it at perfect timing. And it was whether he was going to get there before the Italian goalkeeper. And he did. And the whole country erupted, football fan or otherwise.
How long before we're ever going to see those kind of moments again?
The year 3016.
Oh, God. The other one that we're not going to see again anytime soon, golden goals. I didn't realise that they were gone.
Yeah, they went. The last time we had a golden goal in international tournament was the 2002 World Cup. So famously, South Korea knocked out Italy. And there was a player for South Korea who played for Perugia in Italy. And the Perugia owner was so disgusted that this player knocked his own country out of the World Cup that his contract was gone when he came back. But at least he was a hero when that happened. But Euro 2000 was decided on a golden goal, just like Euro 96 was. We'll get to Euro 96 in a second. But David Trezeguet in 2000, 2 years after France won the World Cup, they play Italy in the Euro 2000 decider. Marco Del Vecchio scores for Italy. And then in the 94th minute, this is the normal time, Sylvain Wiltord, the Arsenal forward, former Arsenal forward, equalises. And then again, like a bit like the Robbie Brady moment from a television perspective, the aesthetic of Trezeguet's left-footed volley was just gorgeous. Like, it was swung in on the left. Robert Pires had a great run down the left wing, pulled back to Trezeguet, who like unleashed this whipped left-footed volley into the roof of the net. Really difficult technique. Kind of an underrated striker in the grand scheme of things, David Trezeguet. But imagine, I was just chatting with my off-the-ball colleague, Adrian Barry, about this. Imagine scoring the goal that wins your country a major tournament and knowing that that will be the last kick of the game, that itself will win it and it's all over then. But what happened was they introduced it in the 1990s to try and promote attacking football because extra time was boring before that. But what happened was it went the other way. Teams got too defensive. So in Euro 2004, they introduced silver goal, which was, say, if you scored in the first half of extra time, it would go till halftime. So if you were winning it until halftime, you'd win. But that didn't really work either. And then they just eradicated the whole thing. So by the time the 2006 World Cup came around, no more golden or silver goal to this day.
You're doing a fabulous job of bringing up nostalgia. Let me help you slightly with a clip just to remind us of the kind of thing we're talking about.
Have we seen the moment pass? But it might have happened. Let's hope not. Hoolihan. Inviting his day! Robbie Brady brings us all to our feet in Lille. No more than Ireland deserve. A fantastic goal to put Ireland in front. Now, just 6 minutes remain. And Lille sees Lyon on the horizon.
That crowd reaction, oh, that's something else, isn't it?
Anton, it's just, I listened there and that's the first time I've heard it. Probably since then or not long after. And I'm back there. Like, I'm back in that moment. Hundreds of us got up at the same time. Just imagine being in the stadium. And do you remember there's that famous picture of Robbie Brady serenaded by his family in the sideline and they're crying and It's a big argument to say it was the last great moment in Irish football. That was 8 years ago.
That was 2016. Fast forward or fast back, rewind another 10 years. 1996, defined in some way by Gaza missing a sitter.
Totally. The Euro 96 semi-final at Wembley, England against Germany. Gaza, of course, like brilliantly scores against Scotland in the group. And then this game, he's playing really well. It's extra time. It's one all after normal time. And then there's this moment. You watch this back, Anton, and it is increasingly remarkable how Gaza missed the chance when Shearer crossed it. And he just had all the time in the world to tap it in, and it went under his foot as he slipped. He said subsequently that he anticipated the German goalkeeper was going to get a touch, so he hung back. But if that was roles reversed, if Gascoigne had crossed it in for Shearer, they would have scored, and that would have been golden goal straight to the final. It wasn't to be the case because the miss just really was the last moment of Gaz's career. Like, he played on for a few more years afterwards, but Euro 96 was the peak, and at the time he was playing for Rangers in Scotland after an injury hit spell with Lazio. And essentially, even though he was half fit and had loads of demons off the pitch and didn't look after himself, he was too good for Scottish football.
But the demons off the pitch, I mean, the more that I listen to Gaza stories and the more that I listen to modern interviews with Gaza, it's extraordinary that he functioned as well as he did on the pitch at all.
It's extraordinary in many ways, Anton, it's extraordinary that he's alive still. And he seems to be in a relatively decent place at the moment. But yeah, completely, because his lifestyle was appalling. Like, he talks about having a triple brandy at half time before playing for Rangers in a cup final and then going out and scoring a hat-trick, and he was just a remarkable talent. And that game, when the late great Terry Venables was the England manager at the time, they played 120 minutes all the way to penalties and they didn't make a single substitute. So Gascoigne, in that massive old Wembley pitch, was running around wrecked, the most he had run in years, and he was still one of the best players in the pitch. I watched that full game back during COVID when they showed full games, and there were so many average players or average performances in that semi-final, but Gascoigne was extraordinary.
Well, can you watch Euros, or can you watch any competition without having skin in the game and get the same level of pleasure from them as if something matters for the nation?
I guess watching it objectively and without any tie is in itself exhilarating if the football is good enough, if an incident is worthy enough of attention to stop you. For instance, I mentioned at the top there, but Georgia beating Portugal last night was great because they played a bit of football and they never gave in, and you could see an exasperated Cristiano Ronaldo, and Georgia as a collective got the better of him. And that is fun to watch. But I think it has to be something fairly extraordinary for you to get up off your seat if the team you support isn't involved. And that's what we're all hoping for here.
On that basis then, which was the best Euros competition ever?
Oh, what a question. I see, I'm nostalgic for Euro 2000 because I remember it. I was 11 and I remember the golden goal, and I did a short documentary on France at Euro 2000 a couple of years ago during COVID. So having interviewed people that were involved at the time, you get very invested in that competition. And people are saying, geez, Ireland have been to 3 Euros in total, 88, 2012 and 2016. But I suppose the way that Ireland went out against France in the round of 16 at Euro 2016, they scored a penalty early and that was kind of it. I just have such fond memories of Euro 2000, and all my favourite players from my youth came together in what was a top tier competition.
Well, if you have any memories you'd like to share, 53106 at a cost of 30 cent, or you can get us 087 1400 106. Colin, thank you very much. That's Colin Buick.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.